Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen again.
Amen.
And one more time for the Holy Spirit. Even me, Lord. Somebody say that. Even me, Lord.
Amen.
I need a few more folk to say it. Even me, Lord.
Even me, Lord.
Even me, Lord. I need some drops to fall on me, Lord. My family, Lord. I need some drops in my household. On my job, God, I need some drops on my household. Does anybody need some drops? Even me, Lord. Even me. I want somebody to personalize this. Forget about everybody around you and just look up to the Lord. Talk to God. Let God have God's way in the name of Jesus. Come on, choir. Even me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name. Yes, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we come before you now. In the name of Jesus, we beseech your throne of grace now. In the name of Jesus, we know that you are greater than everything that is around us. But God, we cannot face the enemy if we have not fallen before the throne of grace. Let the drops fall, God. Let the anointing come in the name of Jesus. Anoint our church. Anoint our families. Anoint ourselves. Anoint our minds. Anoint our community. Anoint our president. Anoint this governor. Anoint those who want to be president. For we know that if you anoint them, God, they will lose themselves and come to you in the name of Jesus. Even me, Lord. Even me. Thank you, Father. Bless now this sermon. Bless now this proclamation. Bless now this word, that it may not return void, but that it may accomplish that which you intended for it to accomplish. Thank you, Father, for your presence already here today. And we ask that you will continue to manifest your Shekinah glory in this place. In Jesus' sweet and wonderful name we pray. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. Somebody put your hands together. Give the Lord a praise offering. I was sitting in the back just meditating and listening to the choir and listening to the prayer and Reverend Coleman, and the Lord anointed him to give a powerful prayer and listen to this choir, the praise team give a wonderful praise report, and the choir give an awesome song of praise. Somebody just put your hands together and give the Lord all the praise in the name of Jesus. The Lord is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ever could imagine. I want you to stand to your feet. It's preaching time. We are where God wants us to be. And I want to invite your attention to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. I'm going to read a few passages out of the book of Proverbs. Amen, amen, amen. And the first is going to come from chapter number 3, verse number 4. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 4. I want you to say amen. You've located that text. Proverbs chapter 3. The Bible says, I'm going to read verse 1 and go down to 4. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Here is the reading of God's word. I want to use as a title for today's sermon and a number of sermons after today, a very simple title that you've heard me say already: favor is not fair. Favor is not fair. Amen. Amen. We've already prayed. You may take your seat. God bless you. I want to, the Lord is leading me to do another sermon series to augment and piggyback on the sermon series that we did in the month of April and the beginning of May. And that sermon series, as many of you remember, was dealing with grace, mercy, and favor. What's the difference? And we talked on Sunday, April 24th, about the similarities between grace and mercy, and talked on May the 1st about the differences between grace and mercy. And then the Lord had me to preach about Mary on May 8th, which was Mother's Day. And so that sermon series was provocative for me because it challenged me to dig deeper into God's word about not just grace and mercy, but about the construct of favor. Of how do we understand God's favor? And if you recall, I used Hebrew chapter 4, verse 16 as one of the seminal texts that talked about God's grace and God's mercy. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. It is one of the preeminent texts that we talk about before we pray, before we have altar call. This is the text that supports the notion of coming together before the Lord in altar call. It does not presuppose that we don't do it individually. Let us come therefore boldly before the throne of grace. It intimates that we're doing it together. So there's a sense that what this approach to the throne of grace is something that is collective. And I think there's an important reality when the people of God get together for prayer. How many of you didn't, the 8 o'clock service missed a great sermon by the 11 o'clock preacher last Sunday, the Reverend Dr. Gus Romans, and he talked about Pentecost and the need for a prayer meeting, the need for the people of God to come together in prayer, and that great things happen when God's people get together in prayer. If you didn't hear about it, I want you to go on the website and look at the 11 o'clock, and I'm telling the 11 o'clock to go on the website and look at the 8 o'clock, because Reverend Thomas did an awesome job last week that the blessing is in the going. We praise God for both those guest preachers last Sunday, and let me just do a little plug for next Sunday, that we've got two more dynamic preachers coming before us. Reverend Dr. Belinda Love, I met her at the Union Church back in 1995-96 when I was the interim pastor. She's an itinerant elder in the African Methodist Episcopal Church, and we've invited her on Baccalaureate Sunday to preach at 8, and then our own Minister Tracy Ross will preach at our 11 o'clock service, because baccalaureate service is next Sunday. It's normally the fourth Sunday, but it is next Sunday, and we've moved it up to coincide with our youth revival, youth events, start to the youth week of Youth Explosion Week, which you heard Tracy talk about earlier. So there's power when we, the people of God, come together in prayer. And so let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace. When I think about the families that have had deceased loved ones here recently, there's been 5 funerals that have affected our church and a 6th funeral that has affected our association. I got word that the Reverend Dr. William C. Riddick, former moderator of the Middlesex Central Baptist Association, died last week. And his homegoing service is going to be on this coming Saturday at the First Baptist Church of Lincoln Gardens, where the Reverend Dr. DeForest Buster Sorries is pastor. And so that's going to be at 2 o'clock, viewing from 12 to 2, service at 2 o'clock on Saturday. But it was as sudden when I got the news about Reverend Riddick dying, as it was as sudden when I got the news about Henry Bowers dying, as sudden as it was when I got the news about Louise McCant's father had passed away walking to the store, as sudden as it was as any of these other families that have had death in their families. And how many of you know that the rest of today is not guaranteed to you, and tomorrow is not promised? You got to do what you need to do while you have time to do it, and stop shucking and jiving and putting things off, and go ahead and tell folk you love them while you can, and hug them while you can, and send them some flowers while they can smell them, because you never know when it might be their last. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Mercy and grace prominently displayed in this text, that we may obtain mercy and grace. Mercy, as I've told you, and grace are two sides of the same coin. Mercy, not getting what you deserve, and grace, when you get what you didn't deserve. But favor is what really the Lord is leading me to hone in on today and for the rest of these sermon series. I've defined favor as an extraordinary and concentrated dispensation of God's blessings or God's unmerited kindness. So if grace is God's unmerited favor, then favor is an extraordinary dispensation of God's grace. And so it is a gift. Grace is a gift, for it is by grace that we are saved through faith. It is a gift. You didn't deserve what Jesus did on the cross, but he gave it to you as a charisma, as a gift. We didn't deserve it. We couldn't have worked for it, but it was a gift. And the only thing we can do is accept the great gift that God has bestowed upon us, the gift of God that God has given to God's people. And grandmama used to say, folk don't have to be nice to you, but when they are, the least you can do is say, thank you. So God didn't have to be nice to you, but the least you can do is say thank you. Do I have any thank yous in the house tonight or today? Anybody got a thank you for the Lord? I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for watching me over as I slept last night. Thank you, Lord, for keeping my family. Thank you, Lord, for clothing me in my right mind. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the mobility of my limbs. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I can't stop thanking him enough. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Free gift that God has given. Favor. And so when you think favor, think grace. When you think grace, think free gift. So this notion of God's favor is where the Lord wants me to stay for a little while. Because favor is not fair, y'all. It just isn't fair. Favor doesn't make sense, and favor is not fair. Favor is not fair because who are we to tell God who he can give his gifts to? It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with me. Favor is not fair because we are not God, and we are not the dispenser of the free gift that only God is giving. So who are you to get upset when God chooses to bless somebody else and the way that he's blessed them? Because it's his gift to give. It's not yours to worry about. And in point of fact, if we were as saved as we think we are, we would be happy for our brother. We would be happy for our sister when they get God's favor, and stop worrying about why I haven't gotten it. Come on, somebody. We need to learn how to celebrate and how to build folk up and not tear folk down. When God decides to bestow an extraordinary dispensation, concentrated form of blessing upon somebody else, stop being jealous. Stop being envious. Stop letting the green-eyed monster control your mind. Celebrate somebody else's goodness. Celebrate somebody else's blessings. Be happy for your brother. Help build somebody up. Churches need to start celebrating other churches' favor. Men need to start celebrating other brothers' favor. Sisters need to start celebrating other sisters' favor. Families need to start celebrating other families' favor. I ain't mad at you. Point of fact, I might want to be a little bit of what you have. But it is not about what other folk have. It's about what God has. A lot of folks are calling up Pearlie Smith. Y'all don't even know who Pearlie Smith is. But if I said this, you know who she is. $259 million. Pearlie Smith. Reverend Pearlie Smith. Pastor Pearlie Smith. Folk who probably never even talked to Pearlie Smith in years dug her number up. Girl, how you doing? Was that you I saw on television? And if it's sincere, then praise God. Because we ought to celebrate other folks' favor. Now, I'm not telling y'all to go out and play the lottery. I'm just saying. I'm going to have to talk to God about that one. I'm not. You can't deny it's God's favor, though. You can't deny it's God's favor. So this extraordinary, concentrated dispensation of God's blessings and unmerited kindness is where I want to stay for a little while. So peppered throughout the summer, we're going to keep coming back to God's favor. I shared up in Plainfield with my sister, moderator Tracy Brown. The Lord had me preach as I was ruminating and pontificating and contemplating about what God was saying to me about this sermon series. I thought I was done with the 3-part sermon series. God said, no, I want you to keep digging and keep exegeting and keep mining this conversation about God's favor. And God said, go back to Genesis 6, and I want to talk to you that I have peppered my word favor, this word favor, throughout the text. And I want you to know there are other men and women who have received God's favor. In some cases, God said, I gave them my grace and I gave them my mercy. But in very specific cases, God says, I gave them my favor. And Noah was one of those earliest in the Bible in which God bestowed his favor. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 8 says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Not only did Noah find favor in the eyes of the Lord, but the Bible goes on to say that Joseph found favor in the eyes of the Lord. In Genesis chapter 39, you know the story of Joseph and his multicolored coat. He was the object of his daddy's blessings, his daddy's favor, and God, his brothers and his brothers got jealous, and they began to plot how they can kill Joseph. But when God gives you his favor, he also gives you his protection, because embedded in the favor is the protection. Because God is not unwise. God understands when he bestows his favor, there's going to be some green-eyed monsters that come out of the woodwork. And so I've got to give some protection in conjunction with the favor, so that the favor would not be truncated and would not be destroyed, because somebody would want to give up on the favor because of everybody that that's coming against them. So I want to begin to lay out some principles that come with favor. Favor always comes with God's protection. Can I say that again? Favor always comes with God's protection. So therefore, if you are the recipient of the favor, stop fighting the battle, because the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. If God did not see that you were fit for the favor, he wouldn't have given it to you. And so therefore, keep trusting him and stop sweating the small stuff. Stop sweating the small stuff. Be a duck. Let it roll off your back. Because if you are the recipient of the favor, God's already made a way for you out of no way. He's already fought the battle for you. One, favor always comes with protection. Two, favor always. This is where I'm still working. God is still working with me on. And I'm going to say always. Comes with an assignment. Okay, favor always comes with protection. But I've not yet found anywhere in the Bible where the favor has not been associated with an assignment. And so therefore, the assignment is what you and God, you need to work out with God. God, why have you bestowed this great thing upon me? Why have you given me this tremendous opportunity? Why have you opened the storehouse of heaven and poured me out blessings, financial blessings, that I didn't even have room enough to receive it? Why have you healed my body from cancer? Why have you kept my marriage together? Why have you protected my children? Why have you given me this job? Why did you allow me to live in this house? Why did you give me this car? It comes with an assignment. And it is not, the assignment is not to glorify you. Can I say that again? Favor, protection. Favor, assignment. Favor means it's not about me. It's about God's glory and being a blessing to those around us. What is the assignment you've given me to do because of this great bestowal of favor? Now, the third piece principle I'm going to keep coming back to over these sermons. Let me keep going. Joseph, Noah, let's not forget about our brother Moses. Moses found favor. Exodus 33, verse number 12 says, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Noah, Joseph, Moses, let me give you a couple more. David, Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 2. Now the boy Samuel was growing in stature and in favor, both with the Lord and with men. Then I shared with you not too long ago about Mary. Mary, I talked to you about Mary on Mother's Day. Luke chapter 1, verse 28 says, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And the angel said, verse number 31, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. Verse 35 goes on to say, and the angel said, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. This brings me to my third point of this introduction of the sermon series on favor. Number one, favor comes with protection. Number two, favor comes with an assignment. Number three, favor comes with the understanding that you cannot fulfill the assignment by yourself. Can I say that again? You can't do this by yourself. You have to understand that the favor intimates that it is something that is beyond you. And so therefore the assignment is great. And because the assignment is great, you, if you try to do it by yourself, are going to be left scratching your head saying, God, I'm going to figure out every reason why I cannot do this assignment. And that's when God hits you inside your head and say, it's not about you, young man. It's not about you, young lady. It's not about how good looking you are, how pretty you are, how smart you are, how educated you are. It has nothing to do with you. But when I get ready, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost upon you, and the Holy Ghost will give you power. To fulfill the assignment. Listen, y'all, I'm not fretting about this building down the street. It's a great assignment. And there's a lot of doubt. But when God gives an assignment, he's not concerned about your ability. He's concerned about your availability. He just wants somebody to show up for work in the morning. Father, here I am, ready to do your assignment. You make the way out of no way. You move the mountain. You open the door. You build the bridge. I'm just here. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you look back over the assignment and realize that you couldn't do it by yourself, but when you got on the other side of the assignment, you can lift up your hands and say, thank you, Lord, I didn't do it by myself. Thank you, Lord, you get the glory, you get the honor, you get the praise. Mary is the only woman that we believe in the Bible that is named to be the female recipient of God's favor. Now, before you start saying, well, why is that the case? My female egalitarians in the room. Why we only got one? They got 15. Amen. Come on, somebody. She said, if you didn't hear, that's the most important, because she was the birth canal of the great Savior of the universe. So my one might say, come on now. This old adage when I do premarital counseling, I say, brothers, you the head now. You the head of the house. Yes, you are. But remember, you need a net to turn your head. The sisters could be construed as the neck to help keep the head upright. Amen. The point is, it's a partnership. Don't think one is over the other. Although I do believe man is going to be held greatly accountable how he has covered his family, covered his wife, covered his children, covered his house in the name of Jesus. So to that point, brothers, we have greater responsibility. But don't get it twisted. You need a neck to turn your head. Mary is the only woman named, and she fits all the principles. Favor comes with protection. When Herod tried to destroy the gift in her womb, what did God do? Protected gift. Sent her and Joseph down to Egypt. And when God got ready and dealt with Herod, brought Mary back to give birth to Jesus. What was the assignment? Favor always comes with assignment. To be the birth channel of the Savior of the world. Favor, does she fit all of them? Favor also comes with the power and the ability beyond you to do what needs to get done. So the angel Gabriel reminds Mary, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, young lady, to help you do what you cannot do by yourself. So I'm going to stop here and just simply give you a couple of more, because you might be asking, well, that's all great men of God in the Bible, great woman of God in the Bible. And let me be clear, Mary's not the only woman that got God's favor, the only woman by name. But now I want you to put yourself in the context of all these great men and women of God. I want you to go back to Proverbs chapter 3, and I want you to understand that this also applies to you. Chapter 3 says, "My son," verse 1, "My son and my daughter, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you." Hold close to mercy. Hold close to truth is what it's saying. Bind them around your neck. Keep them. If you know anything about Jewish brothers and sisters, the ultra-Orthodox Jews take verses like this ultimately seriously and literally. If you ever encounter an ultra-Orthodox Jew, if you've ever been to Israel, they have a little box called a mezuzah. They put a little piece of Isaiah or other scripture in the box, and they tie the box around their head, and they also get a little box and put scripture in it and tie it around their left arm. Why not their right arm? Because the left arm is closest to the heart. And what they're saying is, when God says bind my word around your mind, they're putting it literally on their head, and put my word near your heart. They're literally putting it on the left arm near their heart. And so if you ever encounter an Orthodox Jew, they walk around looking a little silly because they got a box on their head and a box on their left arm. But if you understand what they're trying to say, they're understanding that if I keep God's word near my mind, and if I keep God's word near my heart, and let the word seep into my spirit, then God will fight my battle, and the word of God will be my sword, and I will be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. I need some Baptist folk. You don't have to be Jewish to put some word near your head and some word near your heart. I need some black Baptist folk and some white Baptist folk and some Asian Baptist folk. I need some male Baptist folk and some female Baptist folk to say, I understand that the word is my power, the word is my sword, the word is what I fight the devil with. The word of God shall stand. The grass may wither, the flower may fade, but the word of God shall last forever. The word of God shall last forever. It shall last. The proverbial writer, it is words of wisdom to the son, but I don't want you to think in this day it's not to the daughters as well. But here's that fourth verse I want you to just focus in on. And so doing, you will find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Now, favor is not fair. But if there was going to be a qualifier for it, can I just say it that way? God is not a divine ATM. You put your card in and punch some numbers and you get a blessing out. Can I say that again? A lot of us in this prosperity gospel age think if I just say the right formula and say the right thing and name it and claim it, that God is bound to bless me. God is not bound to do anything. Let me say that one more time. God is not bound by anybody to do anything against his will or to do anything in our will, because that would violate the principle of God's providence and God's sovereignty. The very nature of sovereignty means that there's nobody above him, there's nobody beside him, there's nobody beneath him, that God is God all by God's self, and God can do whatever God wants to do. That is the principle of God's sovereignty. And we start with our definition of who God is by saying God is sovereign and God is providential. And then we tack on God is omniscient. We tack on God is omnipotent. We tack on God is omnipresent. We tack on God is merciful. We tack on God is righteous. We tack on God is spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. But the very definition of who God is starts with God's sovereignty and God's providence. So therefore, if there was a qualifier, if you want to be in the running to get God's favor, if you even want to qualify to get God's favor, the Bible says, take his commands, hide them in your heart, put them in your mind, and so doing, you find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. So we who are believers need to start premise that if you're going to go to the next level of your assignment, you've got to have the word hidden in your heart and in your mind. Because God is not going to give the kind of assignments that God alone gives to someone who is not walking in the word of God to the best of their ability. So therefore, even if you want to be a qualified, now I'm not talking about the fact that God's always going to bestow mercy upon those who ask for it. How do I know? And let me qualify always. Again, I don't ever want to tell God what he's always going to do. But 1 John 1:9 tells me, if I sin and if I confess my sin, that he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe in my heart of heart, God will never turn down a contrite spirit and a contrite heart who goes before him and says, I'm sorry for what I have done. Forgive me, Lord. I believe that. That's the mercy part. Then there's the grace part. Remember I said, if I don't get anything else but mercy, I'm good, y'all. But when God decides to take those next steps of grace and give me blessings I didn't deserve, right? We're always going to get those. I shouldn't say again, always. We are more than likely going to get those bestowals of grace. But favor, assignment that comes with protection, and that comes with empowerment, I'm going to say, are not doled out all the time in the extent that we think. And yet I do believe all of us are qualifiers for God's favor. We're all qualifiers for God's favor. Well, let me say it this way. We can qualify for God's favor. But you've got to, if you've got to understand what it means to put God first and love him with all your heart and walk by faith and not by sight and hold on to his word and put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, shod your feet with the gospel of peace, and put your sword of truth around you, help you understand the power of God's word. Other texts in Proverbs helps me to understand this.
Proverbs 8:35 says, "For he who finds me finds life and obtains what? Favor. He who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." Another one, Proverbs 12:2, "A good man and a good woman will obtain favor from the Lord, but he will condemn a man who devises evil." Again, the question is, how do I obtain God's favor? I can tell you, I can't exactly tell you how, but I can tell you some things you ought not be doing. You know how life is. I may not be able to define what this is, but I can tell you what it ain't. Let me use better English. I may be able to define what it is, but I tell you what it is not. Favor is not when you're backbiting against your neighbor. You will not get favor when you have the green-eyed monster and always looking what other folk have. You will not get favor when you're backstabbing against your brother. You will not get favor when you've always got a frown on your face, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. You will not get favor when you're always looking at the glass half empty and never seeing it as half full. You will never get favor if you're always trying to pull the rug out from underneath your brother and your sister. You will not get favor if you don't give God some glory. You will not get favor if you don't ever lift up your hands unto the Lord. You will not get favor if you don't ever open up your mouth and say, "Thank you, Lord." You will never get favor if you don't fall on your knees and humble yourself before the Lord. You will never get favor if you don't confess your sins and ask God for his forgiveness. You will never get favor if you're not praying and fasting sometime. You will never get favor if you're not tithing of your time, tithing of your money, tithing of your talent. You will not get favor if you don't give God praise in every situation. God is looking for some people he can trust with his favor. God is looking for some folk who won't squander his favor. God is looking for some people who are staying on the bloodstained banner. God is looking for some people. God is looking for some people. God is looking for some people. And I've got to be careful about saying it's what we do that qualifies us. It's not what you do, other than your submission unto him. I'm going to stop here. Because as we go forward, not next week, but the week after, I'm going to delve into each of these persons and help you understand how they obtained favor, what their assignment was, what their protection was, and how the Holy Ghost made a way for them to fulfill their assignment. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen again. And one more time for the Holy Ghost. God bless you. Everybody standing to their feet. I want to say, before we extend this invitation, while we're still on the air, I want you to pray for the Riddick family. They became very special people to me during my time here in New Jersey. And Moderator Riddick called me to be the president of the Congress of Christian Education back in 1999. I wasn't even the pastor here yet. He always was one of my biggest supporters. So when I got the word that he died, it hurt my heart. And I went the other night after we left, after I left Plainfield or Scotch Plains for the General Baptist Crusade, I went and called Mother Riddick up, and it was 11 o'clock at night. And I said, "It'd be all right to come by." And she said, "Come on by, son." And I spent an hour or so with her and prayed with her and her daughter. So I want you to pray for them. His service is this Saturday, as I mentioned, 12 to 2 for the viewing and 2 o'clock for the service.
There's going to be a laying in state on Friday from 12 noon to 9 p.m. with a short memorial service, wake service at 5:30 that night up in Faith Hope Baptist Church, which is his home church in New Brunswick. And so those of you who knew Moderator Riddick, and many of you did, pray for the Riddick family. Pray for all these families. And I looked at Dave and Sabrina last week as Dave's grandfather, and Teresa and George and their father was laid to rest at Grace Cathedral. And I've walked with about four families over this last, really about six families over this last week alone. Peter Porter, Troy Porter, the young man, Alex Martinez, and the Colemans and the Turners, and yesterday the Bowers and the Browns and the Vaughns, and tomorrow the Gibsons, Trustee Gibson, and then Wednesday the McCants and the Shabazzes, and Saturday the Riddicks. And it's what we do as clergy. But I solicit your prayers as we will help other folk walk through the valley, as I try to walk with them through the valley. Pray for me and pray for them in the name of Jesus. This is part of my assignment. It's part of my pastoral assignment. And here's what I know. I can't do the assignment if the Holy Ghost wasn't with me. Amen. So a lot of y'all say, how do you, why do you? And I say, listen, all praises to God. He gives me the power to do what I need to do when I need to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to say the same to someone out there. The Holy Ghost wants to come upon you and in you. But you've got to open yourself to let the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And that comes when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Otherwise, you're trying to run this race by yourself, and you can't do it by yourself. You need to accept Jesus. Humble yourself and say, Lord, I invite you into my life as Lord and Savior. And in so doing, the Holy Spirit will come and baptize you in the name of Jesus. And so let's pray. Father, if there's anyone out here in the sanctuary that has never made this decision, I pray that they would do it today. Call them forward, Lord, out of their seat to where you want them to be. And we'll give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. As the choir continues to sing, the deacons and deaconess clergy, help me extend the invitation into the aisles. Is there anyone today? Anyone today? Anyone today? He'll give you brand new life.
He will give you brand
new life.
New life.
New life. Oh, why don't you come?
Oh, come.
Come on. Anyone here?
Come on.
To Christ. Stay right there, choir. To Christ.
To Christ.
To Christ. Not to the preacher. Not to the deacon. Not to the minister. Not to the trustee. Not to the usher. But to Christ.
To Christ.
God is calling someone to come to Christ today. Is there anyone here? Anyone want to join the church? This is your time to join the church. If you've already accepted him as your Savior, come on, and this is your time to join with us in this branch of Zion. To Christ. Anybody here want to make this gift, accept the gift of salvation? To Christ. Oh, bless your name, God. To Christ, to Christ, to Christ.
To Christ.
To Christ. Ah, to Christ. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. To Christ.
To Christ.
Put your hands together and give the Lord a praise offering. God bless you. You may be seated. God bless you. You may be seated.